Welcome to the Heritage at the Heart podcast. Today we're here at Lochmucknow with Alexis Fitzgerald. And Alexis is the BSBI recorder for County Monaghan. And we'll tell you all a little bit more about that shortly as we walk along. And you can hear all the ducks here. I think they're getting used to being fed with bread, but we didn't bring anything for them. So it's a lovely day. So Lochmucknow is just outside Castleblaney, or within the confines of the town, actually. It's a big lake system with some woodlands and wetlands all about, and it's also the water supply for Dundalk. So Alexis, you're very welcome.
Thanks for having me. I'm Alexis Fitzgerald. I'm a botanist and ecologist, and I run my own ecology consultancy, Fitzgerald Ecology, and I'm the county recorder for Botanical Society of Britain and Ireland, the BSBI, as we say. It's much easier to say than that. And I've been in the role since 2015, so I've been exploring the county widely since then, and falling in love with it. And I've been studying plants for 10 years now, almost 10 years.
Okay.
And plants and nature, it's been my fascination for all that time, and I'm still in love with it. And
and what brought you into botany initially, Alexis?
It was just sort of a natural curiosity from maybe when I was a teenager. I was interested in wood carving and, you know, wilderness skills, and eventually I just sort of really got interested in just studying the plants and the animals, and really trying to learn everything about them, and, you know, it became its own obsession.
Yeah.
You know.
And you find, and the more you know, the more you need to know, and the more you find you don't know.
Yes, there's an endless supply of new things, you know, and it's amazing because if you go traveling around the world, there's always something new to see, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
It's kind of an endless source of interesting stuff.
It's fantastic, isn't
it? Yeah.
And like, so the BSBI, so that's the Botanical Society of Britain and Ireland, that you said. So what do they do, or you do, as part of that?
So I'm one of the county recorders, as we call it. There's a series of county recorders, one for each county in Ireland, and also in Britain for each county or vice county, because some of the counties are too big, so they split them up.
Yeah.
Cork has three vice counties. And each one has a person responsible for that area, and essentially they go around recording all of the botany of the area, all the wild plants. They're responsible for collating all the information and from other people who might have given them records, and you send them in to a central database, and that's used to inform, you know, our knowledge of how rare species are across Ireland and Britain.
So when you record a species, so you're probably recording the name of it, you're trying to figure out what it is, where it is, and that's the kind of thing you put into the database, is it?
Yeah, so we would be sort of the kind of caretaker of all the data to make sure it's as high quality as possible. So we're, you know, you're doing a lot of the identification work for the different species. It takes a long time to, you know, really get good at that and be reliable.
Yeah.
And you know, there's a long history of really accomplished botanists doing this work, so it's really it's fabulous, and the end product of it is this kind of atlas, is what it's called. It's an Atlas 2020 is the most recent one.
Yeah.
And it's been completed, the data collection is completed, and it will be published next spring.
Brilliant. And that's for the whole country, is it? For the island?
It's for all of Ireland and all of Britain.
Right.
All the species that we know of that occur, native, alien, hybrids, all the different species will be on maps, and we'll have, you know, interpretations of if they're getting rare, if they're declining, or if they're becoming more common. Maybe some alien species, you know, would be spreading. And we can compare it to 1962. There was the first atlas.
Is that the last one?
That was the first one, and then there was one in 2020. So,
okay.
So we have three. This is the third one coming up.
Oh, right,
and,
okay.
We have that long history that you can compare, you know, and you can study trends in climate change and how that affects plants. There's so much information. 30 million records were produced in the last 20 years. So
that's a phenomenal amount, isn't it?
Thousands from Monaghan as well.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah,
and you're probably
yeah.
responsible for a lot of those.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely did a good push, you know, in the last five, 6 years, since 2015. But there have been other important recorders. Ian McNeil is the recorder for County Tyrone.
Yeah.
And he's almost exhausted the Tyrone, so he drops into Monaghan and has been for many years. So and Alan Hill is also the previous county recorder for Monaghan. Yeah, so
well, yeah. So when you mentioned earlier about kind of following in the footsteps of other great recorders, are there any particular ones that have really inspired you? We'll walk along here a little bit as well.
Yeah, I mean, there are a number of them. One of them would be Robert Lloyd Praeger.
He was
probably the most famous botanist and naturalist in Ireland's history, really. He did a huge amount of work to kind of map the Irish plants and figure out where they're distributed and, you know, which ones are rare and so on.
And can I just ask you something about him?
Yeah.
Did he or did he not visit Monaghan? Did he not?
He didn't.
Oh,
yeah.
Did he?
Yeah, he did. He visited a number of times. So he wasn't particularly a fan, unfortunately.
No, he wasn't. That's what I know.
Yeah, and I think, he was a brilliant man, but he was sometimes a little bit rash with his... although he was comparing to, you know, spectacular places like Sligo or, you know, just really, you know, kind of unique places like that. And that was his context. So maybe he's being a bit unfair, I suppose.
Okay. Yeah.
One other really interesting botanist who actually visited Loch Mucknow was Robert Brown.
Okay.
He was the first botanist to actually make any records in Monaghan that we know of.
Okay. Well, thank you, Mr. Brown.
Yeah. he's a famous Scottish scientist and botanist.
Okay.
He's probably the most famous ever to visit the county. In 1799, in his early years, he was in the army, the British army, and he was stationed in Ulster, and he visited Loch Mucknow, or Mucknow Loch, I don't know which way.
Can you imagine then? Yeah. The estate would have been here. You know,
yeah.
There would have been people living in the house.
Yeah, yeah.
In the former house to this one, I'd imagine, in 1799. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, he visited in July, I think, and he recorded a plant called shoreweed on the shores of the lake here, and that's the first record we have, you know.
And what does shoreweed look like?
It's a very grotty little green weed, but it's of interest for a botanist only, I would say. But that's the first record, and he visited again in 1800, and he later went on to be on an expeditionary ship, the investigator, and that circumnavigated Western Australia, and he wrote lots of papers on, you know, the flora of Australia.
Okay.
And he made a number of other big discoveries in you know, botanical.
That's pretty good. I wonder how he ended up in Monaghan of all places. You know, and he probably had some family connection or something here or something like that to be discovered.
Yeah.
You just don't randomly end up at Loch Mucknow, I don't think.
No.
And when we're looking out, if you were here to do some recording, what would you do?
Well, I'd be looking for interesting habitats. So wherever you get unusual or rare or interesting habitats, you're going to get the rare species that come with that.
Yeah.
Plants are very, especially the rare species, are very habitat specific, so they really require certain conditions to survive, and otherwise they won't just grow anywhere.
Yeah.
So for the most interesting things, you know, the things that could be new to Ireland, or and there are new species being found for Ireland every year. There's one or two that are found that nobody knew about.
Yeah.
So I'd look for, you know, the lake shores, for example. We're looking at kind of a nice reed beds and wet woodlands. Those are the areas where you might find some very unusual things, and I'd head into those places.
Okay.
Botanists like to get their feet wet.
Yeah.
Because you'll find a lot of interesting stuff in wetland habitats.
Yeah. And of course, Monaghan's very good for wetland habitats. Well, we have a lot of wetland habitats. They may be in various conditions. What would you say about, would you notice any decline in quality in them, or would you say we could improve?
Yeah, I mean, I have. And you can see that in when I look through the historical literature on, you know, what species have been recorded. You can see that there's a decline in species that like really good quality water, you know.
Yeah.
And I think there has been a decline in quality with modern farming practices, you know, things like eutrophication, which is nutrient enrichment of the water supply, due to slurry application, you know, artificial fertilizers, and just huge cattle stocks, you know.
Yeah, of course.
Silage effluent, these kind of things really add up. And
they add up over time too, don't they? And yeah. When they're in the deposition into wetland habitats, don't they?
It's like a silent killer. And it's a real issue for Monaghan, because there's more than 250, you know, lakes in Monaghan, and it's a real problem. Sometimes they're quite isolated lakes, so, you know, but sometimes they're connected to each other, and you know, Mucknow is obviously a huge lake and it's interconnected.
Yeah, so some things, that it becomes an issue in one part of the upstream habitat of Loch Mucknow, it affects the entire system over
Absolutely,
time.
Yeah, and it affects drinking water for, you know, local drinking water.
Yeah, for Dundalk actually here. Yeah, in this instance. And I know they're planning to do a big project here, I think, on the algal blooms that have been happening here.
Right.
Okay. To try and improve water quality. Mm. But, I mean, would there be enough... if water quality improved here, for example, would plants come back, do you think, you know, or would they on their own?
Yeah, I think so. They're extremely resilient, you know, especially aquatic species. They can bounce back, you know, if you give them a chance. Many different species will bounce back if you just give them a moment to breathe, you know.
Yeah.
And there are some that are actually often quite rare, ephemeral species. Like, there's one, the very first record for this particular aquatic species was found in Monaghan.
Okay, and aquatic, you mean under the water?
Yeah, underwater. It lives underwater. It may have some floating bits, but it lives just underwater.
Yeah.
And this was recorded in, I think, 1900 for the first time. And first time it had been seen in Ireland. It's quite rare still, and it turned up again in 2007. Hadn't been seen in over 100 years, so you know, it shows that these plants can bounce back, even after a long period of time.
And that shows the value of recording where they are as well, so you can go back and have another look to see if the population is there or whatever.
It's really important to have the, you know, botanical history of the sites and everything like that.
All of those 30 million records that you were talking about, that's all a product of voluntary time and voluntary effort, isn't it? The BSBI is purely a voluntary organisation.
Yeah, it's a totally voluntary. All of the county recorders are doing it in their own time, in their own, with their own efforts. And it's amazing that so many, there's so much goodwill, you know, to generate all that data to inform what we know about wild plants. And it's all done by volunteers. There's just a subscription if you want to join, you know, a yearly subscription, and you get a huge number of meetings and lots of other exciting stuff if you're interested in nature.
So you get to go on field trips and learn how to record probably different categories of plants or different families of plants or whatever, that kind of thing.
And it's open to, you know, beginners, anybody who's interested, you know. There's lots of experts there who can teach you everything you want to know, even most simple things to the most complicated things.
I think that's the real benefit of it, isn't it? It's just all of that expertise that's right there in that, in the voluntary organisation. So we're here on White Island now, which is one of the little islands at Loch Mucknow that you can just walk onto. Alexis, now, what sort of things are we looking at here, now that we have your expertise available to us?
So we're surrounded by some lovely wet woodland, swamp woodland, and some reed beds as well. And wet woodland is of particular interest. It's a very highly protected habitat under the EU Habitats Directive. So this is one of the most important habitats, and we have lots of it in Monaghan and in Ireland, actually. It's called alluvial woodland, so it's a sort of floodplain woodland, essentially. Yeah. And it's home to a number of unusual plants and animals as well, and it's great for, you know, wetland birds that are sheltering in the woods, and provides lots of different habitat for loads of different species.
It's quite a highish habitat, isn't it? The reed beds give it great height. It has that real great cover, doesn't it?
It's really flooded right now, actually. Yeah. It's well above certainly above the summer level. You know, it gets a bit lower in the summer, and you can almost walk through some of it. It's a bit treacherous, so I wouldn't go marching through it. Just be careful when you're walking through wet woodland, because you can sink right into a big pile of peat. But it's a lovely place to be in. It's one of the most wild feeling habitats you can be in.
So Alexis, you're about to publish a book on the flora of County Monaghan, aren't you?
Yes, I've been working on the book for about 6 years, and it's been my sort of baby for that period. I've been really enjoying the process, and it's now pretty much finished. And I've, you know, been researching it, doing the field work and writing it and editing. So
So what does a flora look like for the general public? What is
it? So a flora book is essentially a record of all the different plant species that are found in a particular county. There's a number of counties that already have floras. For example, Fermanagh and Tyrone, neighbouring counties, have a flora already. Cavan also. But Monaghan doesn't yet, so this will be a first for the county. And it's essentially a record of all the species that occurs in the county, where they occur, where, you know, the habitats they're found in, their ecology, and gives you maps of where they're found in some cases, and photos as well, so you can kind of see what they look like in their natural environment. There's also a set of introductory chapters, which will be really interesting to anyone who you know, is interested in the environment in general, in nature, in history as well. I've really delved into some of the botanical recording history, which is fascinating. To hear about all the people who've been visiting the county over the 300 years almost of information there. This chapter on geology, on climate, on paleobotany, which means the prehistoric botanical record. So all the
fossils,
like seeds and, you know, wood that's been found in crevices and that they've been able to identify from thousands of years ago. And you can picture the environment back then. Before humans had any real sway on the earth.
You know, we did some archaeobotany for the Black Pigs Dyke project, archaeology project there, and we found some Iron Age, you know, when they set the whole dike on fire.
Right.
You know, all of the different species that they had propped up against it as brushwood to set it alight.
Yeah.
So you were kind of able to reconstruct from that as well, what was in the area and what wasn't in the area.
Right.
It's kind of interesting.
Yeah, and there's some quarries in south of Carrickmacross, and they have their pits in these quarries that have collected organic material from plants from thousands of years ago, and you know there's layering to it, so you can see, and sometimes animal bones, you know, things have dropped into the pit.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's it's recorded the whole history.
So a beautiful archaeological dig for plants, basically.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
No dinosaurs, though.
No. Well, maybe. Maybe.
And now here, for example, we're standing in the wet woodland and all of these trees. So there's obviously a chapter on trees and things in your book, is there?
Yeah, all the trees are dealt with. And there's a section on the habitats, which includes the woodlands and the hedgerows. I can see around us the two most common sort of wet woodland trees, the willow. This one is called grey willow. It's the most common one in Monaghan by far. And of course, willow is, you know, famously is the source of kind of analgesic, I think it's salicylic acid. And it's the source of the original source of aspirin. They're now sort of synthetic derivatives but the original is from willow, and you can still use it if you have a headache. You know, you can chew on a bit of bark, and it works. Actually, it does work.
Does it?
Yeah. Meadowsweet is also good for that. If you pull up a root of meadowsweet, quite common in wetlands as well, you can also deal with a headache in the wild.
That's brilliant. I love that.
I tried it. Yeah, it works.
I didn't know that about meadowsweet, actually. I didn't know that about willow. And then there's grey willow. And then is crack willow the same as grey willow?
Crack willow is a different species. It gets the name because the branches tend to crack off and flow down the river or the stream. And it's very good at actually, it doesn't need to produce seed. It just has these branches that land in the water and it can actually propagate vegetatively. by the branches breaking off like
that's
that.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, so it's found its method.
Yeah, yeah,
of going
it's,
about
very,
it.
It's very canny, and the there's also alder around us,
yeah.
Which is this other another very common woodland species in Monaghan, and it's got these characteristic cones.
They're lovely, those wee cones, the little brown, tiny little brown round kind of cones, aren't they?
It almost looks like conifer.
Yeah,
sort
they
of
do.
Cone, but it's actually not a conifer, so it's quite distinctive as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And does it have another little? Like, does it have a catkin or something as well?
Yeah, alders? It has female and male parts, and the catkin produces all the male reproductive material and spreads out to the cones.
Yeah,
and it's a lovely plant.
It is. It's a lovely tree alder. Yeah, it is really nice. And here as well, look at all of the lichen that are on these. I mean, these
loads
look dead to
lichen.
Me, but loads of lichen.
And they're fairly, fairly not big trees, but they're covered in lichen.
Are they? And like lichen is a kind of a plant. It has it's a kind of a symbiosis between
fungus and an algae.
And an algae.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's a strange symbiotic relationship where they're kind of using each other's tools to survive.
So if we were to describe a lichen to someone who couldn't see the lichen that I can see, what would you say about it?
They're kind of like a sort of crusty, scaly.
In this instance, a kind of a very vibrant, sagey, minty green.
Yeah, like really
spearminty green.
Yeah, I'd go with that. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
They're almost. Look at this! A little creepy crawly coming out. They're almost effervescent, aren't they? Sometimes they like glow in the dark. Almost, I think sometimes lichens.
Yeah, there's a famous lichen in it's called lungwort, and because it's really big and it looks like almost like a lung, the way it's kind of ridged in the edges. And it's a great indicator of high quality air. So you only get it in nice places in the west of Ireland, for example. You see it more and more. It's very wet and better quality air.
Okay.
And usually the more kind of nutrient enriched environments, it'll be killed off by that.
So we'd probably just only have the common species here?
Probably. You never know. I mean, in a wet woodland, you could get all sorts of unusual things. There's lots of mosses and lichens all over these trees, covered in them.
So a tree is more than the tree itself, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's a habitat for other things, for other plants.
Yeah. We can see little holes from burrowing insects there right in front of us from a dead tree. It's got, it supports everything. Willow is a superb. Willow and oak are the best trees for supporting all sorts of wildlife, insects and lichens and mosses. And they think, they have by far the most species on them. On per tree, you can get dozens
that
of species.
Willow was as good as that. That's
great. Willow and oak is probably the king.
Yeah, I knew
the
oak
king.
Is the king, obviously.
Yeah.
And on this tree, they see this little fungi.
Oh, yes.
Jelly fungi. Let me describe it to somebody who can't see it. It feels like jelly. It's kind of slimy.
I think
it's a brown colour, and it looks like maybe my ear when it's older.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Would you go with that?
Yeah,
the
jelly ear. Yeah.
Is that what it's called?
Yeah, I think you can eat them. I've never had the bravery to do it. Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
I'd sooner lick the lichen.
Yeah, become a reindeer.
They nibble on them, don't they?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that gives the trees, though, a lovely appearance, doesn't it, when they're all kind of covered in that fluffy, crusty, effervescent-y kind of.
This is what nature does when you're letting it, just survive and do its thing. It just has so many layers to it, and you give it time and it will develop this kind of diversity.
Yeah. And in all of the precision of all the systems for each plant. Isn't that the amazing thing? Like the precision in their DNA.
Yeah.
The precision in the way that willow tree has developed to fling off a branch into the water.
Yeah.
Creates this thing that looks quite chaotic, but is really amazingly ordered, isn't it?
Yeah. I think plants are probably... the reason I love plants is for many reasons, but probably the main one is that unlike animals, plants just, they land wherever the seed lands, they have to survive there. They can't really walk away, like an animal. So plants really are a perfect reflection of their environment where they land, and so plants are the most fascinating group to study if you want to understand the surrounding environment and how they interact. And, habitats really are built on plants, and plants and habitats really support everything else. So, That's why I think plants are particularly fascinating, and they're really, really diverse as well. There are very few groups of animals that are as diverse as plants. Maybe insects, beetles, would
Ants.
Be similar, ants, these kinds of things. But they're too small.
But do you have to go around?
My back hurts from looking at them,
Do you have to go? Now, my image of a botanist is that you go around with a lens maybe tied around your neck. And in the old days, you know, a notebook or something under some plastic so that it doesn't get wet in the rain. Is that still the image of a botanist?
That's kind of what I do, but I've started migrating to a phone. But otherwise, it's all very old-fashioned. It's, you got the little lens and you use your microscope and you need books. And now a lot of florists are going on to phones now. So a lot of people use phones. A lot of people use apps. Like iNaturalist is a great app. You post your photo there. Or Facebook groups as well.
Yeah.
Post your photo on Twitter, and people will help you crowdsource the identification. So it really speeds up your learning process if you want to get to know any kind of animal or plant.
Would you encourage, like, to encourage maybe more people in Monaghan to join the BSBI or become a citizen, you know, floral recorder, floristic recorder?
Yeah.
How would you encourage them? What would you tell them?
I'd just tell them that they have amazing habitats and, you know, in their back door and so many different species to see. It's endlessly fascinating. It'll occupy you for the rest of your life, I promise. You don't need any money to do it. You know, you just kind of walk outside and it's all there for you to study. And you can look at the tiniest things, from, you know, microscopic algae all the way up to, you know, big giant trees or wild mammals and
I read something yesterday. I think I've been reading Edward O. Wilson at the moment, Biophilia, and I read a piece in it yesterday described a tree that you could actually spend your whole life one good big oak tree, for example, your whole life studying that one tree, what lives on it, what lives around it, what, you know, just completely, if you just kept studying and studying and studying it. And he's so right.
Yeah.
It's that depth of knowledge, isn't it? It's amazing.
I hear a lot of physicists say that, you know, physics is easy compared to biology because, you know, there's just so much crazy complexity to biological life and how it interacts, and because it's been evolving for millions of years, you know, it's got so much time to create these intricate networks and right from the, you know, the base of the soil all the way up to the top of the trees, so and into the sky, of course.
That's wonderful. I think hopefully talking to you today and I will really encourage some other people to both maybe have a look at plants slightly differently and think about them a little bit more, and maybe join the BSBI, which would be great.
Yeah, absolutely. There's BSBI. You can join these Twitter, Facebook groups if you just want to do it yourself and try and learn on your own. There's also local naturalist clubs as well. Dublin Naturalist Field Club is also brilliant. There's a Belfast Naturalist Field Club as well, and there's a few others scattered around.
They're
country.
Super. They're really good.
I recommend going out with people who know their stuff because it'll speed up your learning, 100 times.
Of course.
And it just opens your eyes to, you know, whole new worlds, I guess.
That's absolutely wonderful. Alexis, thank you so much for joining us here at Loch Mucknow today.
Thank you very much.
The Heritage at the Heart podcast series is supported by the Heritage Council and Monaghan County Council.